This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hi, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, hump day. Yes, it is. Hope everybody's having a pleasant June 22nd. We're just one day out now from NBA draft, which you'll be able to hear right here, of course, on 92.9 FM ESPN. Excited about tomorrow night and what the Memphis Grizzlies in particular plan to do. I think as we've talked it through this week, and, you know, looking back at the history of this front office, we all expect the Grizzlies to be aggressive. Hopefully reports that indicate such continue to come out. And we'll see what happens tomorrow night. We've still got a few hours to talk about it. Yesterday I was out, John, and saw a local prospect with ties to the University of Memphis, or at least in the family. We'll talk about that at some point. And maybe a draft surprise today? Draft guest surprise?
Special guest. I don't know how much of a surprise it would be, but we're hoping to be.
I think it would be a surprise to be joined by a potential first rounder. Is that positioning it correctly?
Well, I think he's probably going to be a first rounder. I think he's minus 600 right now to be a first round pick. Oh. That would be Kennedy Chandler. He's scheduled to join us at 12:45. He worked out for the Grizzlies on Sunday. So, yeah, we're going to do a little draft coverage today here on the show. You guys know how we get down. So he's scheduled to join us at 12:45, continuing to work out, obviously, leading up to tomorrow's NBA draft. So it should be an interesting interesting day. Mark Giannotto is going to join us at 11:25. Kennedy's at 12:45. And then Bobby Marks is going to join us at 1:25 as we get you ready 24 hours out from the NBA draft. And a couple things on that before we get this started, and I guess this would count as the start. Philadelphia is basically calling, according to Woj, everybody. Philly is calling everybody to gauge their interest in number 23 and Matisse Thybulle. Matisse Thybulle, who's, you know, a good young player, you know, definitely more known as a defender. And he says, Woj said, if you're a general manager in the NBA and Daryl Morey hasn't called and offered you number 23 and Matisse Thybulle for someone on your roster, you probably have had your phone shut off. So here is my question to you. The reason why they're trying to do this, by the way, is because they're trying to clear cap space. Because Matisse Thybulle's up for a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. They're trying to clear cap space so that they can offer P.J. Tucker a big contract. They want P.J. Tucker in Philly. Because those who know. If you know, you know. If you know, you know. You don't know, so you don't know. I know about P.J. Tucker. I know what he brings.
This is getting ridiculous.
He won a championship in 2021.
What a love affair this is.
He went to the Eastern Conference Finals a year later.
Well, it's not just John. It's teams that want to win right now. Yeah. I mean, but I just find it ridiculous to think, just for everybody, he's the thing that puts you over the top.
Well, he's a champion, bro. Everywhere he's been, he's won.
He did not do it in Miami.
Well, he was in the Eastern Conference Finals. Okay. First of all, I mean, how many times do we have to re-adjudicate this? Max Struess had a three taken away, bro.
Bro.
For no reason.
Again, when you going to get over that?
What was the reason?
When you going to get over it?
And then
Jimmy should have gone to the bucket. This was in your hands.
If Max Struess had not had that three taken away.
If you listen to P.J. Tucker, you go to the damn bucket. Okay? He didn't do it. All right, and you
lose. Well, I'll put it to you like this.
He got one in Milwaukee.
The Heat could have lost the NBA Finals in six games, bro.
I'm not going to argue with you about P.J. Tucker. I get it, but this love affair you've got and some of these contenders of guys is a little bit crazy.
I mean, look at his track record, bro.
We've looked at it. Is he 33?
He's older than that, I think.
34, 33. Like we look 36. At this every time, and I think
he's 36?
Every time, we're like, what?
Actually, he's not 36.
He's younger than you think.
He's 37.
No, he's older.
Yeah, 37.
Now, stop.
Yep, just turned 37.
Anyway, yes, they've got to win now because of Embiid.
Sure.
And so, yes, getting a P.J. Tucker.
He is 37.
Plenty
Holy
of teams.
Crap,
plenty
John,
of teams
right.
believe he's
so you guys know
key
I'm the
to winning
P.J.
now.
Tucker historian
well,
on this show.
It's ridiculous because, again,
37.
If you think that P.J. Tucker's the piece that puts the Grizzlies over the top, you're wrong. You're
that's
just
right.
wrong.
It's, you're right about that,
that's,
Jason.
It's not the right piece. It's not the right piece.
Well, he could help.
Yeah, he could help.
I would be in favor of it.
Would you sit front row?
Oh.
Yeah.
I would get a P.J. Tucker jersey.
I already know. You'd be screaming down there wanting fist bumps.
No, P.J. Tucker is like, if you go back to his, like, if you look at his career, and we didn't even talk about this yesterday because I suppose it just wasn't enough on your doorstep to entertain it.
But this is a big tweet for you, apparently.
Well, the guy was an Israeli basketball champ, MVP. He comes to the NBA.
What does that have to do
what
with
what a great story.
I mean, he's a great story.
Who embodies and epitomizes grit and grind more than P.J. freaking Tucker? All Anthony right. Leon Tucker.
This is getting ridiculous.
The guy's a winner. I want winners, right? I want winners around my team.
I like the corner three ability.
So that's the first thing, right?
Getting a little old, too.
Part A is the Sixers want P.J. Tucker, who opted out of his player option with the Heat.
Yeah.
And they want him in Philadelphia because, as you point out, they've got James Harden. They've got Joel Embiid. They do need an edge. You know
who can the Grizzlies give up if it's a player?
Well, what they want is a
23 and
they want a win now player, right? That's what they want.
Okay,
they want a win now player in exchange for 23 and Matisse Thybulle. So first of all, let me even ask you:
Ooh,
do you have any interest?
To dangle.
Do you have any interest in Matisse Thybulle and number 23? You have any interest in that deal? If you're the Memphis Grizzlies, does it make sense on any level?
Well, again, I don't have Matisse is up for a big deal, right?
Yeah.
So again, it's a rental in many ways, unless you're committed. And would you be? It's only worth doing unless you're committed to Matisse Thybulle. No. Now you're just throwing this with me. I had not seen this report before we sat down. If you think Matisse Thybulle is your guy, then you do.
Yeah. Next year is his last year on a contract.
So it's a rental. It's a rental.
He can get a 25. He can get a 5-year, $186 million rookie extension.
Who am I giving up?
Well, you got to give up a win now player.
Well, there ain't but a couple of those.
Who are they?
Dylan, DeAnthony,
DeAnthony is not a damn win now player, bro.
In the regular season, you win now. We're talking about what you would dangle, Brandon Clark. Those are the three guys.
Yeah.
Other than that, what else you dangling?
Do you think Daryl Morey looks at Game 6 of the Western Conference Semifinals and sees Dylan Brooks' performance and says, "That's the man I need to pair with James Harden"?
No.
I don't think
the only difference between Matisse Thybulle and PJ is that Matisse can't knock down that corner three because he's younger defensively. I mean, he's got the contract coming up, but again, you're paying a 37-year-old,
right?
Hoping you got to win right now.
Is but Matisse Thybulle going to get that much money, bro? He averaged 5 a game last year.
Well, that's all he is a defender.
I mean, I know he's really good defensively
and athletically, he's there, but. Now, I don't think I'm doing it, quite frankly.
I shot 31% from three.
I think I like my position with my assets and what I can do elsewhere too much to mess with that.
Yeah,
that's just where I'm at. What about you there? Or no,
I don't.
I mean, it's sexy at first. It's another pick, another guy. But and the Grizzlies, we're in the mood to wheel, you know,
well, look,
to deal.
I think it could fit.
But I'm not.
I think it could fit because it would really allow you to, like, Desmond Bane would be your for sure second option, right? Like, Ja would be first.
Yeah, but I want my three to be able to knock down shots.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest problem. Is
right?
That
I mean, that's it, unless you're...
You would be getting... I mean, you know, is Matisse Thybulle a slightly better defender? I could probably make that case. But he's much worse offensively than Dylan, even as inefficient
even,
as Dylan is.
It's not even close.
He's a liability on offense, right? I mean, the guy averaged 6 a game last year.
Well, I think that's why they're calling around everybody and not getting any traction. It's because people, after they think of three... You know what? No.
It would be a part of a bigger deal for me. It would have to be like...
It's not even 3 and D, it's just D.
Right, it would be like the first leg of a bigger deal. Okay, so now I have 23, 22, 29.
Would have to be something like
and
that.
And Thybulle.
You've got other goals.
I would have to like parlay that.
With, yes.
You know, which, you know, that would be the swing. And again, I know it's impossible to know if that's...
What's after that?
That might help me get to 4, right? I mean, that's the kind of deal that might help me get to four. It's going to take some real legwork. If I'm really trying to get up there and there's somebody I like, maybe you can get there with 22, 23, 29, Matisse Thybulle, Brandon Clark. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's not even enough.
Who's that guy at four you willing to give up that much for? Jaden?
I told you I would not draft Jaden.
You and I both are in the same boat about that.
You know, I know people might think we're crazy, but I don't.
I don't. Yeah, look at it on the defensive end.
Desmond Bane needs to stay where he's at, you know?
Correct. The two spot's taken.
Right. And I don't.
Ivy can't play three.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't.
6'3". 6'3", 6'4", 6'3".
Yeah, I need shooters, too. Yeah. Ideally, like, I would like to be able to take some pressure off Ja, and Jaden Ivey would do that, but.
Leave Daryl Morey still feeling the heat and the pressure.
Yeah, but I do think the Grizzlies are going to make some kind of move. I mean, well, I don't think it's this one, but I do think they're going to make a move.
They're not drafting three players.
I can't see it. I can't see it at all. I think it's.
Now you tell me this.
More likely they draft one than three.
When you get as close as you did last year, how much does it change how aggressive you're willing to be to win right now? You know, it's easy for us to say don't move off the plan, right? Keep the goals mostly the same, but no one saw second best record coming last year.
Yep.
The way you pushed the eventual champion, Golden State, you're closer than anybody even thought you would be, front office included. So how much does it change your willingness to, hey, maybe change course and go a little bit more, let's go?
Mm-hmm. I think it has to. A pretty good deal.
Kleiman's always shown to be aggressive when he can be.
I mean, I think
so. I would just think that.
Yeah, I mean, it
feels like he's going to be as aggressive as possible without pushing in all the chips.
Yeah,
right? You don't push in all of the chips right now.
I don't think this is a league where
you find a nice little balance.
You can afford to just sort of kick your feet up and say, oh, man, I love where we're at. Isn't this great?
Well, you can't when Dallas is making moves and getting Christian.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't.
When others around you are making moves to get better.
Because when your clock starts, you know? I mean, it's like Stranger Things. When you hear that clock.
I can't do it. That's the one where the kid's weird. He's not talking at first. Something. He's clearly been abducted or something. I've watched the first five episodes. It's so boring.
You're going back to the first pre-COVID.
How many is that where we're at? Yeah, I'm trying to get through.
If you
to
ask
get
me
where
anything
you're
pre-COVID,
at, to get where you're at,
you're
how
not
going to
get a great answer.
Been? Everybody keeps asking about Stranger Things.
Yeah,
we're just on the outside looking in. I can't get into it.
Yeah, it's you guys.
Brad, you into it?
No.
I like the first season. I like the first season.
Is it one third of the country that's watching?
Oh, I think
it's more than that.
How many white people are in America?
It's like 66% or something.
So we're two thirds. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's huge. It's like the biggest thing on Netflix ever.
Just like y'all made JT.
Yeah. I mean, we can get into sort of things we've done and things we regret later. You know, at a different date.
Okay.
It has brought this song back to the charts. By the way, Jason.
Yes,
and John.
It has.
This song
this?
From the '80s from Kate Bush called "Running Up That Hill" is now
yes.
back
you
on
know
the
I'm
top
80s 40
charts.
I'm an '80s connoisseur.
Should Jason know this one then?
Let me listen to this. I might know it.
I only know it because of radio and being plugged in with Chris back here. But Jason and John, this is now back on the charts thanks to Stranger Things "Running Up That Hill." Kate Bush.
No, I don't know it.
You don't know Kate Bush?
Not this one.
Have you heard this song ever?
No, but listen, Pat Benatar, 80s.
Yeah.
Sounds like that, right?
I can get down.
Yeah.
I can get down with that.
Yeah, the reason why I know this song is because of, TikTok and radio are like so...
Connected-ish.
What's on the radio is on TikTok, and what's on TikTok's on the radio. You know, it's like that's the way it goes.
Well, that's where radio's now finding its hits.
You ever see the 85 classic, The Legend of Billie Jean?
No.
Fantastic movie starring Helen Slater. That I think I suggest you guys go back and watch. This song puts me in that
mood. Where in the name of God would I find that movie?
This song puts me in that mood.
Where would I find
she
that
She ends
movie?
Up where the whole country's looking for her. She, because she cuts her hair.
Yeah.
You never heard of her.
No, I'm unfamiliar.
You're unfamiliar? You're from my town?
I am unfamiliar
you
with this
You need to go watch
well.
This movie.
Do you have that on VHS?
Yes. Yes. I mean, as a matter of fact,
beta.
I do in the
like,
trunk.
You can't find
some
that.
Of the old tapes.
You cannot find that
oh,
on
just
any.
Just a great one. They're running away. And I believe a young, I want to say, what's the kid's name? Is it Christian Slater?
I know Christian Slater.
I think a young Christian Slater's in it. He's the one ends up shooting somebody.
All
just
right.
Just check me out on that a little bit later on, and I think you'll find it all factual.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep, he was. That was his debut, actually.
It put me back into the mood. That music put me in the mood of The Legend of Billie Jean.
The Legend.
Fantastic movie. I think around 85.
Well, look, there could be some some Stranger Things happening this week.
There you go.
During the NBA
nice.
Draft.
Nice
for the,
little,
nicely
for
done.
The Memphis Grizzlies. Do you think the top three will, by the way, will be the conventional Jabari, Chet, Paolo? Do you think the if you had?
Oh, I'm not the man to ask on this, am I?
Well, I'm not the man to ask on this either. So
I saw where Vegas is moving around a little bit. I think you made note of that yesterday.
Yeah, it's been weird. The markets have been strange, you know. And the draft is such a it's its own animal because whatever Woj gets on there and says, it'll impact the odds there. And Woj may not even be trying to insinuate anything, but the people that set those odds might interpret it as that. And so it's a very finicky thing. But yeah, there was a time where Paolo was second, he had the second best odds to go number one. Now he's back to third, so it's gone back and forth. Jabari's always been one. Now that the juice has fluctuated, but he's always stayed at number one.
Well, how much of what you think of at your confidence level in these guys is based on where they're going to go? Or is it just, no, all three guys, no matter where they go, hey, because it usually doesn't work out that way, to be honest with you, John. Quite frankly, I like better what OKC's done than what the Rockets have done at this. You know what I'm saying?
In terms of fit.
Rockets got a lot of young players, though. I'm not saying that Paolo, if he goes to the Rockets, he can't be a success. But the point is, the organization you go to, how much does that matter? Orlando, with all those damn guards down there, how much does it matter to the player in your confidence level that they'll end up being a stud?
Yeah.
It has to matter some.
Yeah, no.
I mean, anybody going down to Orlando right now has been a death sentence.
That's exactly right. And
so, is it for Jabari? And sure, he's good from an individual and a scoring standpoint.
Well, I think Jabari's cool with it because you're the number one pick in the draft, right?
I mean, are any of these guys foolproof? That's the question I'm asking.
I think Paolo is pretty foolproof. Now, I know you're gonna say that I have a bias here.
Well, I don't think I have to say it.
But I think if you go back and you listen to some of the things that I have said on the show prior to his affiliation, I think it will come through that I've been a Paolo fan for a long time.
I don't know.
I think his floor is the highest. I do. I think he's a pretty obvious, good NBA player. He's got great size, can put the ball on the floor, smart kid. I think his shot is coming along. Some of the things I've heard about his jumper, they've worked on his mechanics. You may know his agent once upon a time was a pretty good shooter. Right?
Yeah.
So that makes some sense.
Does he get you drafted and work you out too?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's a pretty good deal.
No, that's part of the package, man.
Yeah.
You get a hands-on, you get a hands-on workout with your agent.
No, that's a good deal.
So then I think that's one of those things like, hey, let's work on,
Well, hey, let's work on JD Davison and that shot. Where's JD at?
We're in the lab. We're working nonstop, around the clock, trying to get that thing.
Well, let's get the word out.
Well, we're doing our best, man. We're doing our best here. but I think foolproof. I think Paolo is about as foolproof as
we knew you'd say.
I think Jabari.
We're just holding you accountable. We knew you'd say Paolo, though.
I think Jabari's a pretty obvious good NBA player.
I don't know about Jabari in Orlando.
Chet's a bust.
Just because I trust nothing about Orlando or the direction it's headed.
Chet Holmgren will never be an all-star.
See, that is wrong.
No, it's not. It's right. It's true. I'm willing to put my entire reputation on this.
I don't know about all-star. That is. I mean, you're not going out on much of a limb.
Well, he's a top two pick.
You could still be a very successful player in the NBA and not end up being an all-star.
He's not going to be a guy that wins a,
Can he be impactful for a long time in the league?
Can he average 8 a game? Sure.
That's not impactful.
Yeah. I mean, he's just not. Dude, give me Jaren over Chet Holmgren all day.
You this down on Chet Holmgren, too?
I've changed. I have switched after thinking about this long and hard, especially after the medical conversation even enters the playing field.
Well, that's right. We did discuss that yesterday.
Anytime medical comes in the playing field, especially as a Memphis Grizzlies fan, for God's sakes, I go right to who do I like other than that dude, and I like Paolo Banchero.
That came from Babcock about the heart and not wanting to give up the heart screen information.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be a bigger story?
I mean, I don't
right
know.
Now,
I mean,
if that's...
I don't like any of it.
Anyway,
I don't care.
It is mysterious.
Especially if it's not dramatically better than the other two or three guys you're looking at. I like Jabari and Paolo better now.
Yeah.
I think I'm there.
Chet's...
But I hate this. It just feels like a little bit of hate because the kid's skinny. He's proved it at every level.
That is part of the discussion.
The way he looks. I don't like that at all.
Well, because you think he's ugly?
No, because...
No, he meant physically.
I think you can be a stretch big and look like that. I'm not slighting it. I was early on, but it's when you really start thinking about it, it's like when you have a talented player like Paolo Banchero, and he proved it at the highest level playing for damn Duke.
Yeah.
Like, I like that.
No, here's the thing that like that bothers me about Chet. Like everybody, you know, what people point to is his size, right? His ability to shoot, his ability to, you know, his defensive, his wingspan, all of that. Okay, well, welcome to the NBA, bro. Everybody's big. Everybody has long arms, and everybody can shoot.
That's true. It's a huge difference.
So,
and if you get pushed around,
I mean, this would have been, you know, this feels a little bit like Darko Milicic to me. Like, oh man, big guy with ball skills, and you know, he's going to be great. And I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't think he's ever going to have enough strength. I don't think he's ever going to have enough, you know, offensive ability at the NBA level against those athletes. I don't see it. He was fine at Gonzaga. I mean, he was pretty good at Gonzaga. He had a good game against Jalen Duren. I'll give him that.
John, the only thing that
But Jalen Duren reclassified.
The only thing that changed my mind was how he did handle Jalen pretty well. That was the only thing that changed mind a little bit about him, but I still, it wasn't enough to put it over the top.
In fairness to Jalen, though, Jalen Duren's, you know, not supposed to be in college right now. Remember, he reclassified, so he's a whole He's a whole year behind Chet. So, you know, it's not going to be what's Chet Holmgren going to do against 29-year-old grown ass men in the paint?
No, it's going to be an issue.
Get put in the stands.
It's a problem.
And my look, I get it where you're at. I don't put as low a ceiling on him as you do. My concerns are how you're going to hold up over 82 games with that body. If Malcolm Dandridge can dunk on you.
Yeah.
Wait till you get these grown men that are making millions of dollars. And my point is, well, that you're going to get pushed around so much to a point your body might break down. Right? That's the concern. It's not so much what he's going to do offensively. I think he's unique there. I think he can find a niche. It's how much is he going to get abused on the other end? And does that literally lead to a physical breakdown of a guy who's already skinny and maybe has questions? You know, more so not even about the frame, but you know what's going on with the heart and everything else if you don't do the screening. So there are too many questions. All your questions and concerns are valid.
Thank you very much,
and I'm with them.
Thank you for validating my questions.
You this hate of him and that he can't,
because
I think offensively, I hate to use the term. I'm not going to use the U word, but he's so different down there. He can find his way through.
Let me ask you about a player
that
everybody was speculating the Grizzlies were trying to move up to. Why is Jaden Ivey so damn hot? Like, I didn't see much from him. Like,
everybody thinks he's Ja.
Everybody thinks he's the next coming the savior as a point guard. I'm not there.
I like him a lot. I mean, I do think he's an electrifying guard. I don't know if he is a point guard. He was that at Purdue, but you know that team underachieved. You know, like that's the thing with Purdue.
My thing with Jaden is he's at his best when you just give him the ball and clear out the way.
Exactly.
Not a shooter.
The Grizzlies are not built for that.
Right. That's what Ja does.
Yeah, he's not a shooter.
I mean, and if you put them out there together again, you got to have somebody that can D up out there with Ja. You don't want to put that pressure on him, and so that's why to me it does to both all three of us it does not work.
No.
That said, I still like him. If you're turning over the backcourt to him and you want to develop him as a guy, I think he can get there maybe. But again, you have to be in that boat.
Right.
You're looking for the star in your backcourt. Grizzlies aren't in that boat.
Yep.
You got your star.
I know this is controversial.
No, one and two are locked up. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's done.
Like, if
Jaden's trying to be a starter with the ball in his hands.
People would call us crazy if we went on, you know, a national show and said we'd trade up. If we're going to do that, we would trade up to get Benedict Mathurin, right? People would think we're crazy.
I just like the fit better.
I'd be fine with that.
Fit.
I love
fit
it.
Fit matters when you've got some pieces already.
And it also makes Dylan Brooks more expendable, right?
Bro, I love that move.
You just like you fit, you slide him right in.
He's, dude, the day Bane had the year Bane had.
Yeah.
Every day he was that good made Dylan even more expendable. Did he not?
Yeah,
because he's locking up your two spot, and then it's about, you know, what are you going to do with three?
Yeah.
So
to me,
it's going to be an intriguing 24 hours. I think as we get closer to the draft, right, we're going to continue to hear more and more, you know, possibilities, not just for the Grizzlies, but, you know, around the league. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be one of those drafts where there's a lot of movement, which is, you know, which makes for an intriguing draft. So we'll come back. We'll talk to Mark Giannotto about all of this, what he thinks the Grizzlies should do, what draft day could look like for the Grizz, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Better over here. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Guests appear on the Superbook Sports phone line. Superbook Sports. Download the Superbook Sports Tennessee app today. With Jason and John, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price.
Topps Barbecue is cold, man. Cold as ice. You see what I did there?
I did.
That was one of my best.
I tried to play this. I was thinking about it because of the temperature in room conversation that's been going on. You know,
a lot of that.
It is cold as ice usually in our studios, but
We were in a heat wave yesterday.
TVA says right? Keep it at 75, right? Or
I'm
higher.
Breaking that rule.
TVA,
please,
let's make some sacrifices.
Good barbecue is better than the weather. Yes.
Well, that's what goes great. That's what goes great with a very well AC'd room is some great barbecue from Tops. They got the sauce, the slaw, the beans, that sweet and saucy sauce. Get over to Tops Barbecue for lunch today.
I tried the smoked bologna sandwich. If I were you, half inch thick, it's going to fill you up. You get it with some of those good Tops fries or the beans, man, that they pour so much into and have been for 70 years. That's why they are where they are. 16 locations. It's good at all of them. You don't like the bologna sandwich? Try the Fireman Burger. You can thank me later. It's their fantastic barbecue on top of their fantastic burger. Tops Barbecue, 70 years and still smoking.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Mark Giannotto is in the building. Sports columnist for the CA.
Hey!
Host of Giannotto and Jeffrey. Tiger Woods?
What about him?
Tiger Woods coming to Memphis?
Yeah, I don't know about this year.
I mean, it was...
Did you see there was a picture out there making the rounds? Someone saw him on a golf course, it looked like, and he was in shorts and, like, took a picture, and, like... You see the leg, it makes it even more remarkable that he is like playing golf tournaments right now. You can probably find it online.
Mangled.
Like his right leg is like half the size of his left leg. Like you could clearly see like parts of his leg aren't there anymore necessarily.
Right.
Like especially that calf area around the, like, and it's like, you know, not straight, you know, like it's bow legged now. And like it makes it, when I saw the picture with him in shorts, I go, man, I can't believe he did what he did in these last two majors. Now he's going to do it. You know, he didn't play in the U.S. Open, but he's planning to play in the Open Championship in a few weeks at St. Andrews.
And when is the Memphis date?
I believe it's second weekend in August.
So August.
Yeah. So he would have.
He's not going to qualify because he's not playing. It's a FedEx Cup playoff event. So it's you have to qualify. You have to be top 75.
We could certainly make an exemption for Tiger, right?
Or top 150. It's either top 150 or top 75.
I mean, I'm willing to do it for Tiger. I'm willing to say, hey.
He's got to play. You have to play like the PGA Tour events.
Again,
the
PGA should be willing to do whatever.
I would actually just give him the trophy. You know? Like, you don't even worry about playing. You're the winner of the field.
Why would he not just eventually take the money from Liv since he's not going to be as competitive? Going forward,
he's not going to play in those events anyway. I think he's only playing four events.
Right? It's less golf.
Yeah, but I don't think
fewer holes.
I think Tiger's at a point in his career where he's not.
He doesn't need the money.
Not just he doesn't need the money. I don't think he's playing PGA Tour events anymore. He's just going to play the four majors.
The majors, right?
That's it.
Right.
His event.
Okay.
Like he has an event that, and I bet you maybe he'll play in that. He has it,
and that's all he can do with that half leg. You said.
Yeah. What else? I mean, for him, like he doesn't need to be winning the Travelers Championship at this point, like, you know, like ultimately, like he's if what well, to me true. What's driving him, I don't even think it's breaking Jack Nicklaus's record anymore, because I don't know if that's possible. I don't think that's possible given his condition, but like, you know, getting back into, you know, being in contention in a major, maybe winning one more, I don't know if it's possible given his physical condition, but that's to me what's driving him. And to me, especially when you see the condition of his leg, I don't think it's he can't be playing more than four or five tournaments a year.
Right.
I don't think. And yeah, you know, so yeah, I think the ship has sailed on him coming to Memphis for a PGA Tour.
Yeah, he's still stuck on Tiger.
Maybe he'll make an appearance. I can see him making an appearance here.
Which is a ridiculous question to ask. The question, John, should have been, how much of a bummer is it for the tournament now? No Brooks, those guys that you liked, Lefty,
yeah.
Phil, those guys. You tweeted about that, Mark.
Yeah, that's
a blow.
It's, you know, like, I don't agree with their decision to go to live. Like, I understand the moral implications, but I think of it more in terms of, like, I'm just not gonna call them evil when I've also seen, you know, like, I don't pretend to know any of these guys, but I know that they came to Memphis every year. Those three guys in particular, Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, and Brooks Koepka, were very loyal to the Memphis event, no matter what form it was. You know, when it was a regular event,
that's true.
When it was a WGC, when it was, you know, and Phil, you know, he can be hokey and fake, but he talked glowingly about the place all the time.
Like, he liked being here, which we love.
I wrote a column at this past tournament. The clubhouse attendant at TPC Southwind, Carol Waters, like, Phil loves that guy. Like, he's like, Phil brings extra golf shoes because he thinks that guy shines shoes better than, like, anyone on the entire
PGA Tour. He's so engaging, Phil can be.
Yes. And then Dustin Johnson has been coming here for a long time, right, every year. And then Brooks, in, you know, not as long as those two, but, like, since 2015-16, since he's been a pro. And then, you know, you talk to people behind the scenes, like, Dustin Johnson has given money to St. Jude that, mm-hmm, you know, hasn't been publicized. Like, they've come here, gone to St. Jude, keep coming back, and also, like, have, I think, you know, sometimes when it can be overblown when these guys come here, and, you know, I was so, you know, moved by St. Jude, and then don't actually back up those words when the cameras are off. Like, it sounds like Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka in particular, like, kind of backed it. They said that publicly. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And then have, over the years, behind the scenes, backed up that talk. Like, they, like, spoken with their wallet, saying, like, we were moved by this Saint, you know, seeing what St. Jude does. And so, you know, I think both things can be true. Like, I think they're good guys deep down. And I also think they're, you know, I don't agree with their decision to go to the Lyft Tour. I don't like the how the conversation has unfolded with that whole thing, and, like, decrying these guys as, like, evil for doing this.
At this point, that's gone. It's the questions is, what does the PGA Tour do? Because they're getting poached.
I think eventually they're going to have to, like,
sit down and make a deal.
Yes, like, you're going to have to, like, okay, you're going to have eight events a year. They're not going to be timed up with any of our big events.
Right.
Yes. We're going to come up with a formula in which these guys can play 15 PGA Tour events, mm-hmm, and eight.
There will be a capitulation.
Has to be.
Yeah, I mean, there's no other way around it. All right, on to more pressing matters here locally. What do you think, if you had to just sort of, you know, take a stab at what, mm-hmm, you think this, what do you think we'll be saying on Friday? What do you think?
After the Grizzlies draft?
Yeah, or don't, right? They don't have to draft.
Here's what I think they want, that they made one first-round pick, and it was at a higher position than what they're at right now.
Right.
I don't think they want to make these three picks. I think they want to make one pick.
Yep.
They want to move up. I think I haven't talked to Zach Kleiman. This is called this informed speculation. My gut tells me, their goal, that the ideal scenario for them, is to trade both these first-round picks and maybe the second-round pick to move up in this draft. Now, maybe they have to throw D'Anthony Melton in if, like, a team doesn't like that package or something. Like, that, to me, is what their thought process is. I think it would take something really unique for them to do anything more than that. But I think we're going to be talking about, they did something similar to the past few years where they moved up. It's not going to be like last year where they moved up ahead, you know, before the draft even started. I think that was pretty unique, actually. I think what we're going to be talking about is, like, you know, we're going to get to, like, 9:30 at night whenever you get to, like, that 10 to 15, 10 to 17 range. And somewhere in there, they're going to try and move up to one of those. There's probably a list of four or five guys that they really like in this draft,
mm-hmm,
that they think have a chance to fall. And if one of them's falling, I think they're going to try and jump up and grab that.
And person. How many of those guys play the same position? How much of this is positional? You know, like that guy they're looking at.
Well, to me, like, I don't understand this Kennedy Chandler to the Grizzlies talk. Like, I'm not using a first-round pick on a guy who's ultimately going to be the backup.
You're trying to sabotage our 1245 guest. How am I supposed to explain this?
What do you mean? He's going to be it's not to say he's a bad player. He's going to be a good – he's going to go to the – play on an NBA team. He's going to be on an NBA roster.
He just canceled. So, thanks.
No, I just don't think – I think if I'm Kennedy, I don't want to come to the Grizzlies.
Right.
Because you're just going to be the backup point guard.
Well, he's going to be that to start wherever he goes.
I know, but like, yeah. He's not going to have a chance to be the starter.
I hear what you're saying.
Isn't that the argument for drafting any point guard?
But, and who's handing over a backcourt to somebody that goes number 29?
No, you know what I'm saying? But I would rather be in a scenario where, like, you're not – like, John Moran is like – I mean, maybe it's a scenario where if you look at it, if you're Kennedy, it's an injury-prone point guard potentially in John Moran, and you can be like Tyus Jones in 30 games a year for your first – three or four years in the league, you have an elevated role, and that leads to
go from
a
there.
Bigger contract, kind of like
where he's gonna be. Yeah.
Jalen Brunson path, if you will. It's probably what Kenny. If Kennedy's looking at this,
that's the way you.
The
need
ideal
to readjust.
Scenario is like Jalen Brunson.
I would agree.
For him. But I think if I'm the Grizzlies, you know what position you need ultimately. Like you have Desmond Bane, you have Ja Morant, you have Jaren Jackson Jr. Centers aren't that valuable. What you're looking to upgrade is your wing spot.
Wing.
And I'm not saying it's not ultimately going to be Dylan. It might not, you know, it could be Dylan, it could be Zaire, but might as well with this pick give yourself another option who it could be, because ultimately if multiple of these guys emerge, well then you can trade one of them, you know, later down the line.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll put it this way. Ja Morant, I'm on my Grizzly.
What does that mean?
Why are you saying it right now like that?
Ja Morant, I'm on my Grizzly.
I think that's all that really needed to be said.
Okay.
You know, I think it kind of speaks for itself here.
You think Ja's making the pick tonight? You think he's like, he's consulting?
Well, he should be.
Zoom?
He should be. I mean, I don't see any way.
How much do you consult Ja now at this point? If you're Zach Kleiman, you have the record that you do.
I don't think on a draft decision you are.
He's 22 years old.
I think. I
trust
you. Tell him what's up.
Evaluation.
You make a call, right?
But I think if you're making a major trade, I think you might want to get John involved. But if it's like
we're on the same page.
If it's like, well, should we get Dalen Terry or Wendell Moore?
Calling Ja to make the final decision.
Or even should we? You know, we need to move up, and they want De'Anthony Melton. I don't think you're consulting on. With Ja on that type of decision either.
Y'all keep dangling De'Anthony out there. Is that there's just going to be many takers?
No.
He's got it.
What's the package that gets us there with De'Anthony?
I'm just saying if a team wants him rather than like the second round pick, maybe for the right amount to
move up.
You can maybe.
Please take him.
If it's like if you want to go up like.
Thank you.
Like there's been this talk of they've been one of the teams that contacted Sacramento. They probably contacted
to get to four.
Right. And everyone's talking about Jaden Ivey. I think if they're going up to four, they're not going there to draft Jaden Ivey.
He needs the ball in his hands.
Yeah. So who is it then?
Maybe the guy from Iowa. Like he fits that wing spot. Yeah.
He can play right now.
We said maybe Benedict Mathurin.
Maybe him. You know,
can play some small 4-2 next to Jaren. You know,
well, you've got
watched him enough.
You've got your Iowa
probably
Hawkeyes
not.
Gear on
I
today.
I think he can. He's like 6'8", dude. He's 6'8".
Are you trying to tell us that you want them to draft Keegan Murray today?
The thing about him is people say like he
plays
would
a
probably
3-4.
In another draft he'd be more like the 10 through 15 range.
Right.
But this draft is a little weaker. But I don't think they have enough ammo to move up.
That's a huge jump.
I don't even think they have enough ammo to move up to 7 where Portland is, and they're apparently maybe a team that will look to draft. It's like to me it's like it starts at like Washington at 10, New York at 11. There's reports that they've talked to Cleveland at 14, Atlanta at 16. To me, those are the types. Those are like the spots where maybe you can jump up and you have enough. Like moving from 22 to 4 is going to take more, I think, than just the 29 pick.
Well, I think if you package 22, 29. And De'Anthony Melton, I think you could get to 21.
Man, stop.
No.
Right?
You could get maybe like Cleveland at 14.
Yeah, he's into that range.
They can't afford Colin Sexton. They don't want to pay Colin Sexton.
But who do you draft at 14 then? I mean, who are you drafting at 14? Who are you getting up to? Who are you, you know, that you wouldn't be able to get at 21?
I'm not. Like, you're saying, like, who are you drafting? Like, no one knew Desmond Bane was a great draft pick when they picked him.
That's true, but
they made a great pick.
Well, they did trade up to get him, right? They traded
every pick Zach Kleiman has made, except for Ja Morant, he has traded up for.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
always aggressive.
I know who will they draft. Like, I kind of like. I think this draft in particular is going to be interesting for the Grizzlies in the sense that, frankly, we're now looking at them as a team. Like, it's not like who do they need to add to, like, for the long term. It's like, how do they get over the hump from being what was a great season to, like, a championship team? That's really how we should be looking at the
Grizzlies.
But
you do that by adding a veteran piece, right, rather than...
Well, you do that right now. The easiest way to do it, though, is through the draft, mm-hmm. is by hitting another draft pick. Like, what the reason why they won 56 games so quickly, yes, it's because of Ja Morant, but then it's also because they've, like, hit on all these picks. Like, true. All these guys true. Have become contributors, and true. So the easiest path for them to do that is through the draft, and that's why I think you've seen Kleiman trade every draft. Like, I think Kleiman views it as, you know, this is our best. Like, we can do it other ways, and we have the option to do it other ways. But frankly, for a team like Memphis, the easiest and best route is going to be just hitting on draft picks over and over again.
The point would be, how many more times can you do that? And especially if you're a contender you're going to hit on a guy that can contribute right now, right, to – which, I mean, you're right there if you want to.
Yeah, but I'd rather try. I mean, you have three picks.
You're building for the future. Yeah, I get that. But
there's no other option.
How much does it change once you've had the second best, or does it change once you've had the second best record in the league?
Where I think it helps you is the more times you hit, those guys become trade chips later. Like right now.
Sure. You figure the luck's going to run out at some point. You're going to miss on one of these guys.
Probably.
Aren't they sort of due for that in the law of averages?
Well, they hit on Zaire? I mean, I don't think we can say that.
No, we can't. I would say that's trending positive.
You might be right. They might be due. Or maybe they have a really good front office.
I'll be honest. I hated the Zaire pick last year, and I like what it's looking like. I can't wait to see him in summer league, to be honest with you.
That's a gambler's fallacy, though. There's no such thing as being due, right? You could just hit everything.
Well, we just don't, like, I'm curious.
No way.
The Grizzlies are so private.
New day, man.
I guess Sam Presti at one point got on a roll.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
KD, you know, Russ. Yeah.
Guys get on rolls where they don't miss anything for a while.
Serge Ibaka?
You figure Kleiman's probably due.
We get such limited time speaking to him on the record. Like, he talked for like 10 minutes at the breakdown day, maybe 20 minutes. He'll talk for like 10 minutes after the draft tomorrow night.
Sure.
And then we won't hear from him again until he'll talk for like another 20 minutes.
Just very little meat on
media day.
Yep.
And then you talk to him at trade deadline. Like, he doesn't talk very much. And no one's ever really gotten into it. And maybe tomorrow night I'll ask him. But like, I am curious, like, do they have some sort of process they think they've figured out here? Because, you know, it's the same front office. Like, they haven't lost anyone despite their success, him winning executive of the year. Like, the people under him have stayed the same so far. No one has come and poached any. Like, I found that interesting, too. After they won this year, like, there was some talk of Darko, the elite assistant, like, that Sacramento might be interested. But, like, I haven't seen anything about him getting any interviews or anything. And then with Kleiman, you know, like, it's, you know, when at his exit interview, he talked about, like, the three people he named as, like, when someone asked him about the executive of the year thing, three people he called out specifically were Tayshaun, Rich Cho, and then he called out Chris Makris, who is the guy in charge of their scouting, particularly with the NBA draft. And maybe they've got something where it could be they're going to run out of luck. It also could be they're like, this is what they might be best at, you know, ultimately.
I think the fundamental question is, do you use the assets to move up and go hard, go get a young guy, or do you, you know, save the majority because you prefer to get over the top with a veteran guy because you're closer than you thought you were?
I don't think what veterans out there to trade for those picks? Like, we've done this on our, you know, like the 22 and 29 pick, like ultimately the problem they ran into is the Lakers pick didn't become a first round pick like it was supposed to. That was going to be much more attractive if it had been in the 13, 14 range.
Oh, I mean, it's just been unbelievable what you could have
done.
And
so, like, the 22 and 29 pick in a weak draft are not that valuable. So, like, I don't think they can go get some veteran that's actually going to help them using those picks. So now I think what I can tell best I can tell from these reports, what they've determined is, okay, a better chance is like, let's move up in this draft. We don't have room on the roster for three rookies. We don't want to guarantee two rookie contracts, probably, given the state of our roster right now. Let's just try and get one, the best one we possibly can, mm-hmm. that gives us the best chance at a hit. Now, like, something Jeffrey's brought up on our show that I don't think gets talked about enough. What if you try and, you know, can you somehow turn the 22 pick this year into a future pick because someone else wants to move? So someone drops and they want to move up to grab them, and then you kind of delay the asset to a later year when maybe, sure. you know, maybe there is a veteran that makes more sense. I mean, there's a couple, you know, like I'd be interested in some of the trades we did on our show, like sample trades, like Kyle Kuzma, if the Wizards were willing to trade him, seems mm-hmm. like a really good kind of fit. I kind of liked Eric Gordon, you know, as a, mm-hmm. as an option that
now,
could help right away.
My language going to get in a
but like, I don't know if you can get, you know, no, can you get Eric here. Gordon for the 22 and 29 and De'Anthony Melton?
I feel like Eric Gordon would have been great, you know.
I'd rather do that than move up and go take a chance on another draft pick that may or may not help you, right? If you can.
I mean, you can
package any picks into a vet. Kuzma, whoever, Gordon, whatever it is.
That is still a thing.
I'd rather do that.
That is something that could still happen on draft night. Stranger things have happened than a trade like that. The history suggests that this front office is not going to make a move like that. It's more going to mm-hmm. be a more subtle move of jumping up mm-hmm. to grab someone.
Yeah. Okay. On to the University of Memphis here. They have put together a roster. There's a couple pieces that will fall into place, but we sort of know the nucleus now with Kendrick and Emmanuel Akot and mm-hmm. KO and DeAndre. Like, it's interesting because it feels kind of thrown together because it is, but it looks pretty good.
I asked this question on our show. I'm curious your guys' thoughts. I'm not basing this on the potential of last year's Memphis Tigers team, but what it ultimately was, an 8 seed that went to the second round and finished second in the AAC. That team, that's what that team was last year.
Yeah.
Could this team be better?
I think they could be better because I think I don't know if they can win the league, but I think they could have a better seed in the NCAA tournament. So they could conceivably win a second round game rather than being matched up with the number one, right? Mm-hmm. I think this team could, you know, they're not going to get a lot of, glamour, right, going into the season. They're not going to be a preseason top 25 team almost certainly. They will be on projected tournament fields, I would assume. Yeah. But they're not going to be like, oh.
It's like they're going to be projected to do exactly what last right. year's team did, like be an 8-9 type team.
I do mm-hmm. think people are understating the difference with from Alo to Kendrick Davis at that specific position. Mm-hmm. And I think that could be I think that could be a very, very wide gap that shows up.
I think if Jonathan Lawson and Malcolm Dandridge are good, like, I think it could be really good. But
you're trying to start Malcolm, aren't you? Because if he's coming off the bench, it wouldn't matter as much.
I think the Penny Hardaway we knew is just going to have completely changed. There's going to be no East kids in the starting lineup.
Any dependence on Malco, I think, is dangerous.
I think you're going to have to. I don't think.
I hate this team.
Go.
Yeah, I prefer him like as depth.
Go ask around. Go watch like UT Arlington last year. Like, KO played college. It's not like he's coming from Africa now and he's an unknown.
That's right.
He's coming from prep school. He played college basketball last year and wasn't, like, he led their conference. Yeah, I know he finished, like, whatever he was in blocks per game. And yet, he was not an all-conference player of any kind in his league. Like, so, like,
but
you know,
think he's coming here to back up Malcolm Dandridge, though?
He's already here. What do you mean coming here? Like, that's once he's here, like, you got to earn the spot. He's not good enough to be coming here demanding
role. But he's got to be better than Malcolm Dandridge. If he's not better than Malcolm Dandridge, we're going to have some problems.
I'm telling you, go watch the Gonzaga game.
That's the only thing that any Malcolm Dandridge defender ever brings up.
Nope,
they don't bring up his other 85 college games. They bring up the one.
No, but he has one. He has been the best or second best player for Memphis in multiple games over his career.
He cannot stay healthy, man. He can't.
I agree.
And he can't stay out of his own head where he tries to do too much.
He can't set a screen. That's a bigger problem.
I've been hoping Malcolm would turn the corner for a while.
The guy's a senior.
It hasn't gotten me anywhere.
I'm sorry.
It'd be ideal if he could do that. And you get the guy that dunked on Chet Holmgren. I just don't think you get that over a full season with him. It'd be nice. Either way, I think you get it done between the two of them.
When you need offense, you're going to go to Malcolm.
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
That's where this needs to be.
If you think they're going to be better, like I think they could be equivalent to last year's team. That's ultimately what I think that we're going to end up seeing. A team that's very similar. Like 8-9 seed, maybe wins a game in the tournament, but let's just be real, not like ultimately. I don't even with Acott, even if they get Keontae Kennedy, like I don't see this being more than like a, you know, in the top 25 type team. I don't see him being like a legitimate Final Four threat.
But, you know, look, given
maybe if, you know, in a perfect world, I guess, board, but no. You know, like I think I see a similar result as last year, which would be pretty darn good in my mind.
Well, they're not going to get off to the bad starts that they had the last 2 years that have been the thing that's holding them back.
Now, two straight tournament appearances.
That's what I'm saying. This is the type of thing sometimes, you know, not every year is going to be like the perfect setup. And I don't think this is.
Right.
But I think, you know, there's just the best programs never don't dip. They don't, you know what I mean? Like they don't have the ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And I think Penny has set. He's set up a situation where honestly it's smart in that it doesn't look like there's going to be any sort of dip, but if there is, well, he's like the whole team's gone after this year. It's a 1 year team he's put together for the most part. What I'm interested in is we've now seen in the last couple weeks he started offering a bunch of 2023 guys again, mm-hmm. freshmen, mm-hmm. because. I think what isn't getting talked about a lot is his son is a 2023 recruit. Ashton. I think he's going to build a class around it. Not necessarily his son is the best player, but like I think he's going to bring in more, you know, high school recruits this next go around, partly because he's going to have his son to help probably build the class in some form or fashion. Because from my understanding, Ashton, this son who's like a junior in high school right now, he's not like a top, he's not like a 5-star recruit, but he's also not like Jaden. He's much higher thought of than that. He's more like, he's kind of like Mason Miller, it seems like, that level of recruit.
Right, where he's
like a top 75, top 100 potential recruit. And, you know, he would be a guy Memphis would recruit whether he was Penny Hardaway's son or not, potentially.
Who's the next guy out of Memphis? This sort of goes along with the piece that you wrote this week. Who's the next guy out of Memphis that ends up
at Memphis?
High school prospect.
Man, it's interesting you say that because I do think like this trend of these kids going to prep schools, I actually don't think if there's kids Memphis is interested in, I don't think it helps them. I'm not saying it precludes them from getting someone, but I don't think it helps Penny.
Right, you prefer when these to have
guys,
them in the backyard.
These guys leave town. I'm going to be honest, I don't know.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.